So we're starting a series called Before You Say I Do, and you might say, okay, well, we start a series called Before You Say I Do, I'm not quite ready for marriage yet. That'd be good that you're not ready for marriage. You're still in high school. But so with that, I'm going to tell you a story, and it'll seem like it's off topic, but you'll figure out where I'm going eventually. So I'll tell you a story about my dad. My dad was a very successful businessman. He retired when he was 54. He had three failed marriages. He was an alcoholic who drank himself to death. That's the short version of my dad's life in 15 seconds. So he had three failed marriages. His first wife, he married because he got her pregnant. He then had married my mother, who they were married for 20 years, and he cheated on her, and then he married the woman he had an affair with, and then that marriage only lasted a couple years, and it didn't go quite so well as you might think, marrying the person he had an affair with. So my mother, I'm in my fifth grade birthday party, I'm at my party, my dad takes off for some reason, wonder where's my dad going? Well, as best we can tell, he went off to have an affair. While during my birthday party's going on, so that was fun and exciting. So this is a little picture of my dad. Also said he was an alcoholic. So when a lot of people, they hit their teenage years and then they start rebelling, maybe hanging out in bars and things like that. No, that was my elementary school years because my dad took me to bars with him when I was like 7 years old. And I'd hang out with all of his drunk buddies, and they would do fun things like pick me up by my ears. Which, as it turns out, being picked up by your ears isn't as much fun as you'd think, but your ears aren't ripped off, which is also encouraging. So if you're wondering if you can pick up somebody, you can, but they won't like it. But so that was what my dad did. He'd do things like that, take me to the bar, hang out with drunks. Drunks would come over to our house, and sometimes he'd come home and we'd get fun lectures, drunken lectures. For example, the Old Man in the Sea lecture. Yeah, he comes home one day crying. Say, what, Dad, what's wrong? I was just remembering the Old Man in the Sea. What, is this a guy you know? No, it's a book. Oh, okay. And this man, he goes out in a boat, and he caught a fish. And he tied it to his boat, but by the time he got to shore, it'd been eaten. And he's like bawling while he's telling us this story about a book he read years and years and years earlier. And so, I mean, it's a pretty weird situation. And so that was stuff that happened pretty frequently. He also told me a story about suicide. He also had the 2x4 spanking lecture where he pulled out a 2x4, not joking, and he decided to give my sister and I a sample of what happens if you get in trouble, and he hit us with a 2x4. Little pictures of my dad. Little snapshots of my dad. My dad was also a selfish man, so while we would go on vacation, he would stay home, and he would save up all his vacation time, and he'd go on vacation when he wanted to go on vacation without his family. And then looking back, as I am now, it's quite possible he was having an affair, and that's why he didn't do it. I guess that isn't a funny thing to say, but anyway, it's been a while. So anyway, so that's my dad, and like I said, he drank himself to death by the age of 54. So if I were to look at my dad, look at his example of what he's like as a husband. What was he like as a father? What was he like as a man? I would be absolutely clueless about those things. I wouldn't know how to be a husband. I wouldn't know how to be a father. I wouldn't know how to be a man because he was such a poor example of all of those things. He was just completely all the wrong things. And likewise, if you look at television, same idea. There's like a show on called like Bromance. I haven't ever seen Bromance, but it's like these guys like it's like a competition to be best friends with a guy, and it was like the lamest thing I'd ever heard of. If you look to a show like that to see what it means to be a man, you'll be clueless. If you look to a show like The Bachelor to see what marriage is like and how is a good way to find a wife, a reality show. I mean, if you think that's the way it works, you're clueless. And so much of our culture is just completely clueless about these things. So why do we need a series on marriage? Because we live in a world of mad selfishness. I mean, like I talk about my dad being selfish, and it's not because he was like the, some oddball out there. Just people out there are really selfish. They make selfish decisions, they're greedy, they want stuff, and they don't care who they hurt in the process. It's all about their happiness and what'll make them happy. I mean, you just even look at things, everything in our world is I, iPods, MySpace, it's all about me. We live in a world of mad selfishness. Next one on there. We live in a world with no values. 50% of marriages end in divorce. There's a $12 billion porn industry out there. Like I mentioned, the show The Bachelor just kind of makes a joke out of marriage. I mean, it's like, and people are just, the strangest thing I've ever heard of, this guy goes on the show The Bachelor, he dates 24 girls at once, and then people are shocked That was odd. So people are shocked when this guy who's dating 24 girls at once does something selfish, mean-spirited, and something like, I mean, it just completely blows my mind. But that's the world we live in, where people just have no clue about marriage and what it means to take responsibility. That's where things like that come from. Last one, we live in a world of broken relationships. Like I said, 50% of marriages end in divorce. Most of the people that kind of stay together, it's still kind of, basically they're divorced, living in the same house, roommates. Maybe some of your parents are like that. I know a couple of youth leaders at the church I grew up at, which is in Cedar Park, and they were infamous in the youth group for yelling at each other. I mean, youth leaders, people like me, they would yell at each other in front of students. And so, for example, one day I go over to their house for dinner, sitting there at the table, the wife has cooked a big meal, the husband is late for dinner because he was at work late. He shows up, sits down, scoops his mashed potatoes, takes a bite and goes, my potatoes are a little bit cold. Without pausing, the woman screams, it's because they're late! I mean, there's no pause, no thinking about the fact that there's like a bunch of kids from the youth group there, and we're like, what is going on here? They're screaming at each other, and they're our youth leaders. I mean, that's the world we live in. People get married, and they're just miserable together, and they do things like, they're so used to yelling at each other that it's normal to them, that it just doesn't even click, you know. Kids from the youth group are here. If I scream at my husband right now, 10 years from now, this kid is going to use it in a sermon he does when teaching on marriage. Like, they don't even think about that because it's just normal to them. But we live in a world of broken relationships. And when we talk about the biggest decisions we make in life, what are you going to do for a living? Where are you going to go to school to get that thing you're going to do for a living? And then who are you going to marry? Well, school kind of takes care of the part about who, you know, what are you going to do, and they kind of help you, give you guidance on that. But on marriage, on how to have a serious relationship, we have no training. If you have good parents, maybe they steer you in the right direction, but the rest of culture kind of leaves you to figure it out for yourself. And so we have this problem where people just have no clue what to do. And so as we start this series, the question is, are you making choices now that are pointing you towards a successful marriage, or are you making choices now that are pointing you towards early divorce? The choices you make now affect your future. And so with this series, the idea is the choices you make right now will affect that. The time to prepare for a successful marriage is before you say, I do. Put this verse in there. It's Jeremiah 12:15. It says this, if you've raced with men on foot and they've wearied you, how will you compete with horses? And in a safe land, you are so trusting, what will you do in the thicket of the Jordan? So we're talking about dating, so you say, okay, what's this about? Why are you talking about racing and things like, where's this coming from? Well, here's the principle. Horses are faster than people and they can run longer. Hopefully you know that because you're in high school, and if you didn't, I would be worried. But so horses are faster than people. So if you can't compete with a guy, you're not going to be able to keep up with the horse. Another example of this, I used to play baseball. So I thought I was the star player and everything. Tried out for the freshman team. So excited about playing baseball for my high school, representing the school. Get cut, the first cut. I didn't make it anyway. Very first cut, I get cut. Send me to the PE class, the embarrassing cut. That was me. So if the next day I went, you know what? I really am great at baseball. They missed out on this. I'm trying out for the Texas Rangers at age 14. And I show up at Texas Rangers practice thinking I'm going to make it. I would be a complete idiot. A moron. Because if I can't play with the ninth graders, I'm not able to play with junior varsity. Certainly can't play with varsity. And if I show up for the Texas Rangers, I'm just a moron. Period. Same principle. If you've raced with men and you can't do it, you can't run with horses. So what's that have to do with dating? Well, if you're single and you're struggling with self-image problems, if you're single struggling with lust and pornography, if you're single and you're having all sorts of problems just keeping a consistent spiritual life, it doesn't magically get easier when you put on one of these rings right here. It's not like you put on the ring and all of a sudden, whoop, I feel good about myself. whoop, put on the ring. Oh man, great. I'm not struggling with lust anymore. It's all better now. I was going to take my ring off, but I can't because my hand's sweaty. But so if you put this ring on, it doesn't magically give you powers. It doesn't make you like Mr. Smooth and all of a sudden you serve around the house. If you're lazy at your house right now and don't want to do your chores, same thing's going to happen when you get married. You can ask my wife. If you're the sort of person that just kind of puts people down, you don't put on the ring and all of a sudden you're Mr. Smooth and the sweet talker. Doesn't happen. So right now, before you say I do, is the time you need to start preparing. And if you're lazy, get your act together. If you're kind of an idiot that's kind of clueless and you treat people like garbage, you need to work on that now because it doesn't change when you put the ring on. Here's another verse up here. Proverbs 24, by wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it is established. Through knowledge its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. So once again, you might say, we're not talking about building a house. What are you talking about? Well, if you're building a house, you get these plans and schematics and things like that. You have a plan and you look at the door frame and you keep going back to the plan and you go, look, okay, it needs to be like this and it shouldn't be this far apart. You need to move this over. And you have these intricate plans for how you build a house. Well, the same thing needs to be for your life. If you make stupid choices now, it sets you up on a pattern. If you ignore the plans you have for your building this house, it's going to fall apart and you're going to kill a bunch of people. You don't want that to happen. Likewise for your life, same thing happens. If you don't set things up properly, it's a big mess. And the thing is nobody at age 16 says, you know what? I just want to keep on being in a bunch of relationships with sleazy dirtbags that treat me like garbage and then break up with me. Nobody says, I just really want to get pregnant at 16 and have to stay with my parents forever and have them support me and have a baby so I don't get to go to college and I can't have any fun. I just hope I have a baby so that happens at 16. You know, I just really hope that, you know, I marry a guy that treats me like trash and makes me just do all the work around the house and he's lazy and plays video games. I just really hope that happens. Nobody says that. I mean, my dad, when he was 16, he didn't say, you know what, I just really hope I have 3 failed marriages, cheat on my wife of 20 years, become an alcoholic, and drink myself to death at 54 after alienating 2 of my 3 kids. I just really hope that happens. That'd be great. He didn't say that. Nobody says that. But people make choices when they're young that set them on this pattern, so that happens. The time to prepare for a successful marriage is before you say I do. And so with that, if we're talking about all these bad choices you can make, one of those things we want to talk about is what are the bad reasons to date? And the bad reasons to date. If you have a funny bad reason, go ahead and text it to my wife and see if she can find anything that she finds amusing. But what are some bad reasons to date? First one, everyone is doing it. Well, you know, everybody says if everybody's jumping off a cliff, would you jump off a cliff? It's a stupid idea. It's cliche. But there's a true principle there. The idea that you're just doing things because people are doing it is stupid. If you're just, I got to have a girlfriend. It's a status thing. You know, I want people, you know, everyone, I have to look like I fit. That's a terrible reason to have a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Next one, you need a boyfriend or a girlfriend. I'm so lonely and I feel empty inside. I just feel if I had a boyfriend or a girlfriend, they would complete me. If they were here, I wouldn't be so empty anymore. I would be complete. Isn't there like a movie that said that? They would complete me. Well, if you're so desperate and empty and lonely that you're going to like prey on a person to fill you up and meet all your needs, the last thing you need is a boyfriend or a girlfriend. What you really need is Jesus, so you'll have some actual like security in your life. That's a terrible reason to date, because you'll just drain the person dry and all of a sudden they'll break up with you and you'll feel even more empty. Next one on your list. You got asked and it's, you know, it's just kind of something to do. Well, they asked me, so of course I said yes. Well, that's a great way to, you know, get a sleazy dirtbag that treats you like garbage and molests you in a parking lot or something like that. And that's just the way it happens. Next one on here. It's assumed you will date. Well, you know, it's a status thing. Everybody dates, which isn't true. You know, I just have to do it. What are you going to do? Are you going to start date somebody? I'm in high school. It's time to start dating. Well, that's kind of a poor reason. What's even worse is that some parents will tell you it's time to start dating and it's time to start having sex with boyfriend and girlfriend. It's time to start doing that. Some parents will tell their kids that. Normally not their girls. They tell their sons that. So they turn their sons into like sexual predators who are out just trying to, you know, get with girls. Which leads to the next one. Bad reasons to date. Oh, whoa, you threw me off there. Bad reasons to date. To get physically involved with a member of the opposite sex. Well, if that's your reason for dating and you just, I just really want to have sex with girls, so I'm asking girls out, well, that makes you kind of a creepy pervert. when guys are out there, I just want to have sex with girls and get laid. That makes you kind of a sexual predator. It's kind of creepy that you're out there if that's what your reasoning is. But that's the truth. And girls, if you don't know this, that's a lot of guys out there. That's why there was a guy in his 30s looking for a high school girl to date. Because he's sick. And most guys out there are perverts. Maybe not to that extent. In their own ways, though, they're all kind of messed up. Even us in this room, we're all kind of messed up without Jesus. That's just kind of the way it works. And sounds like saying that makes it seem a bit awkward, but you need to know that. That's the truth. So with that, the idea is, what is the point of dating? There's a bunch of bad reasons. The kind of the build-up for the actual reason for dating, where we're going with this series, the point of dating is marriage. Dating is about marriage. If you're just kind of, I'm just kind of doing something, well, that is a kind of good way to get yourself messed up in bad situations and get in relationships where you get hurt. Because if you're just not thinking about anything and just kind of going along and doing stuff, that's where you get hurt. That's where bad stuff happens. But with that, when I say dating's about marriage, I'm not saying that, you know, you have to get married to the person you're dating, or even you have to be saying I'm going to get married when you start dating. But it's the idea that there's an end goal with what you're doing. Even if you're dating in the 9th grade, 8th grade, whenever, you guys aren't in the 8th grade, if you're in the 10th grade and you're dating, your mindset is thinking long-term to marriage. It's not just thinking in the moment, it's thinking long-term. I have a life ahead of me. The choices I make will affect the future. So that's when I say dating is about marriage. That's what I'm saying. So the first one, the benefits of dating, because if I'm going to attack dating, I might as well give you the benefits as well. And when I say all this, some people endorse courting and things like this. I just don't want to debate terms. Most people define my way of talking about dating is pretty similar to courting anyway, but I just don't want to debate terms. But so benefits of dating. Helps find a spouse. So what I could do is I could get a hat, have all the guys in the room write their name down and put it in a hat, and all the girls put their name in a different hat, and we just kind of draw names. And actually, let's do this, because then we could just make the you don't want to do this?
There's all right. Girls.
Yeah. Well, some girls would get multiple husbands. So, girls, you happy about that? So we could do that. We could go with arranged marriages, but since we don't live in a culture where that's the norm, it's probably not a good idea. But so we live in a culture where dating is kind of the way it works. And, I mean, it's a way you find a spouse. And that's just kind of the way it works. Next one on here, you get to know yourself. You get to know how you deal with, you say, well, I know myself. But you get to know how you deal with yourself in different circumstances. How do you deal with conflict when you get in a fight? For example, if you don't get picked up after a mission trip and you're stuck at the church for an hour. She's not listening right now, this is good. So that was a real fight that I had with one of my girlfriends. Not telling you which one.
What?
But it was kind of a big deal. It was a big deal, and we learned something about ourselves. Our differences, you learn about yourselves in dating. How you deal with awkward situations, different people, families of people. Next one, helps you find the right person. And that's the idea of when you date somebody, you learn things about them. What are you looking for? I dated some girls that were just plain selfish and one girl that didn't brush her teeth. And I decided I don't want to date or I don't want to marry a person that doesn't brush their teeth because that's not fun to kiss. That is nasty. Brush your teeth, everybody. You just learn things, and that's a humorous joke and an exaggerated one at that. You find out, I dated a girl, I didn't really date this girl, but like we went to the drive-thru and she ordered something and she didn't ask me if I wanted anything, and I did, and so I didn't get anything, and I wanted stuff. And so I was sad, and clearly 8 years later I'm still bitter about it. But that told me something about her, that she doesn't think about other people, which probably annoyed me because that's kind of the way I am. But I decided I want somebody that actually asks me if I want something when I go through the drive-thru. That's why I married Jennifer. That's that in her shoes. That's why we got married. But you learn things about people what you're looking for, things that, just things about your personalities that click, what doesn't click, what needs to be there, what doesn't need to be there. You learn things like that. And so when I say dating is about marriage, if you're dating now, and I'm not telling you should date or shouldn't date, we'll talk about that in future weeks, when, what, where, who, all that fun stuff, that's coming. But if you're dating, think about marriage in the future. Learn from this experience. When you're spending time with the person, say, is this, what about this person is something I want in a spouse? What isn't something I want in a spouse? Look at yourself and say, what's good about me and what's bad about me? One thing, like for example, the girl that didn't brush her teeth, I mean, I just treated her kind of like garbage and crap. I mean, I was just like an opinionated jerk when I was your age. And so I was dating this girl, and I mean, everything, I would try and pick fights with her and stuff like that, and I mean, it was just ridiculous. And I learned that about myself and went, you know what? I probably shouldn't be so arrogant, mean-spirited. I need to change. And that's what happened. I changed, and I'm only slightly less arrogant and full of myself now, but I'm better. You can ask Jennifer. Hopefully you can ask Jennifer, and it won't get me in trouble. Anyway, it's kind of we come to the close. With this series, I mean, we're going to talk about marriage, what it means to be a man, what it means to be a woman, standards in dating. We're talking about a lot of stuff, and if we just talk about it, nothing happens. What matters is if you take this and let it change your life. And with that, I mean, this is a series that I took it from the youth pastor I grew up with, who did a series. When he did it, it was this one right here. He stole it from a guy before that, from the 70s, who did that one right there. I've updated the graphics a little bit. But so, I mean, this is a series people have been doing for 30 years, and it's been changing people for 30 years, changing the way they view dating, masculinity, all these things. It changes the way they view it. And if you just take this and leave it, then you're setting yourself up for all kinds of problems in the future. If you take this series and you apply it to your life, make changes, think about what you're doing, you can set yourself up for a very wise and prosperous life. And when I say all this, I say to someone who is changed by this series. And this is kind of the story. I went to Bible college in South Carolina, so I had a lot of these long trips back and forth. And one of these times, I decided I wanted to listen to this old series because I was looking for a wife. Going off to Bible college, that's really why most people go to Bible college, is really to find a wife. It's ridiculous. They get these MRS degrees and things like that. It's ridiculous. Anyway, so I'm doing this, and I'm listening to this old series. Like I said, it's that one right there. And learning about all these different subjects, which was cool enough, and it shaped the way I was thinking. What was even cooler than that is the time it was recorded was about 5 years earlier, and in the room was a girl named Jennifer, who was there listening to the same stuff, having her views of womanhood, having her views of masculinity, dating, marriage, shaped by this material. Well, conveniently, not too later afterwards, that girl named Jennifer turned into my girlfriend, then she turned into my fiance, and then she turned into my wife. And she's sitting over here sorting through your questions right now. But so this series is something, it's not just something I'm, you know, it's just something to do, it's something random. This is something I'm passionate about, because it changed me. And I want to impart that. And it's only, like, it's not that the series is magical itself. It's only true in so much as it's in accordance with the Bible. But, I mean, this is something I'm passionate about. And hopefully it will have the inspire that same passion within you. But I'll pray, and then I'll take a shot at some of your questions if we got some good ones. And hopefully I won't give you terrible answers. Dear Lord, as we start this series and continue on looking at these subjects, which are just so central to our lives and can affect so much, help us to all be shaped by it and changed by it. Not by the me stirring up an emotion, but by your Spirit working within people mightily. Help our minds to be renewed by your Word. And help us to leave this series and leave tonight different people with a passion for you. In your name we pray, amen. Let's try a couple of these questions. Did we have any good questions?
Yeah.
All right. Question. How do you manage your struggles with lust? One of the things that you can do when you have a wife is you get this program called Covenant Eyes, so you can't look at pornography on the internet without your wife finding out. So that's one good way. If that's your struggle, I mean, there are a lot of programs out there that you can put it out there and it'll send an email to somebody and it'll tell you every website you visit. So that's one thing you can do just so that kind of clears this one area up. And I can, I mean, there's XXXChurch.com has a free one. CovenantEyes.com has one that it costs money, but it's a real great program. So that's one way to deal with the internet pornography side of things. When it deals with just your thought life, I mean, one of the things, best things you can do is spend a lot of time in the Word and just saturate yourself with God's Word, things that point you towards Christ, so that your mind is filled with that, because we live in a world that saturates you with so much sexual imagery, so many girls that dress inappropriately, and so it saturates you with so much sexual stuff that just feeds your lust, and so you have to oversaturate on the other side with Christ, which is a good thing to do anyway. And so when we say things like, you know, have a quiet time every day, it's not just a simple, cliche, and yeah, I've spent time with Jesus. No, I mean, we live in a world that will saturate you with lust. If you go to the grocery store, you can look and there's an aisle of things with women in bikinis and showing off their hot bodies and all, I mean, just open up a magazine, it's people just provocatively, and you're just saturated by that stuff. So, I mean, simply to keep up with what's going on, you need to go hard after Christ and oversaturate with that. Likewise, accountability partners that you're actually honest with, and not, it's not just you talk to them and say stupid stuff, but I mean honestly tell them when you're struggling so that they can smack you around and tell you, man, you need to stop doing that. I've heard of people putting rubber bands on their wrist, and whenever they have a thought, they snap themselves, and it's kind of a behavioristic, but I mean, it's something that it just puts a negative association every time you do it, and if that's what you need to do to break the cycle of lust, then that's what you need to do. Next question. All right. What do you do when you follow these rules and the relationship still fails? Well, this isn't, obviously it's not like a magic formula. If you do this and everything will be perfect. It's something that it sets you up. If you do everything you can, sometimes you just have to trust God. Like I said, there's no magic. I can't tell you the magic formula to have the perfect life, but there's things you can do to point you on the right path. Sometimes people will lie to you. Sometimes people will trick you and deceive you. Sometimes people just change. And I mean, that's the reality of it. And so if you don't leave this series thinking that I've given you all the secrets and everything will be perfect afterwards, and it's a 1, 2, 3, everything's la-di-da-di-da perfect, it doesn't work like that. I mean, sometimes things still go bad. But the thing is, are you doing your part to make sure it's not bad, or are you doing things right now to set you up to almost guarantee it's going to be bad? I mean, if you have a new boyfriend every 3 months and you become addicted to a new boyfriend and girlfriend, that's not going to suddenly change when all of a sudden you get married. If you get yourself addicted to pornography, that doesn't magically change. If you're just completely obsessed with your body image and things like this, it doesn't change. So you get in the marriage and all of a sudden it's this huge struggle. So things like that, you need to do your part to help it, but it's not a guarantee. Next question. I think this will be the last one. Like I said, in future weeks, we'll keep doing these. I'll sort through them and try and see if I can come up with good stuff. Is picturing your girlfriend in a sexual way but not acting on it wrong? Thinking about her in a sexual way, I think that's kind of the definition of lust. So, yes, because that is the definition of lust, thinking about someone in a sexual way that isn't your wife. If you get a wife, all of a sudden it's not wrong because it's your wife. But just by definition, thinking about someone...
It's a two-part
question. So basic answer is yes, that's the definition of lust. The Bible speaks against lust. Next one. When you use it to prevent yourself from lusting after random girls. Is it wrong when you're doing it to stop lusting about random girls? Yes, it would still be wrong because your girlfriend is not your wife. And you don't know if she's going to be your wife. So lusting after her, you might be lusting after somebody else's wife, which is wrong. It's adultery of the mind. It's a way to think about it. The person you're dating might not be who you're going to marry. So, and that's once again, thinking with marriage in mind. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know if you're going to break up 2 days before the wedding. So even with something like that, if your girlfriend, you think you're going to get married, lusting after them isn't better than lusting after somebody else. That's why you get a wife. I can lust after Jennifer. I'm lusting about Jennifer right now. Yeah, that's great. Oh, was that the wrong direction to take that?
Yeah.
Awkward. But so hopefully we'll continue doing texting in the future. We'll try and get some good questions. These were all good questions right here. And hopefully I gave good answers and not terrible answers, because that would be bad.